are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels, and it is Sunday, February 17th, 2019, in my house. All right, today's topic is your medical records. A record or just an alibi? This is an absolutely fascinating topic, and I came across this topic from my own personal experience. I received a phone call from my mother. Actually, honestly, I received a message because I'm pretty busy, so I don't get the phone, which is unusual for her to call me. So, and she says, "I want you to talk to my doctor." So we're going to just go hit up here to the people on Facebook, get them online. All right. Are you there yet? Yes. Facebook is live. All right. So mom calls, leaves a message, and says, "I want you to talk to my doctor." And here's her phone number. I'm like, what? I thought things were going pretty well. So those of you who know my story, I left the States in 08. And landed in Panama. And at that point, mom had a leg ulcer measuring 1 centimeter in diameter. Actually, she had 2 leg ulcers. One was 1 centimeter in diameter, and right below it, another leg ulcer, give or take, another centimeter in diameter. Those of you who are still using inches, that's about a third of an inch in diameter, 2 ulcers. And so I said, "Okay, mom, you know, don't do too much, just kind of, if this is all that ever happens the rest of your life, you're good." So mom starts going to the doctors, and they immediately say, "Oh my God, you need surgery. We've got to cut you here, cut you there, take a graft from over here, put it over there, do some bypass surgery." And I said, "Mom, that makes no sense." We looked at all of her x-rays, showing there is no blood supply at all to this area. And of course, the blood supply was interrupted 34 years ago when she had a car accident. So I said, "Mom, why didn't the ulcer show up 30 years ago? If the blood supply was the problem, you would have had the ulcer 30 years ago, or at least 25 years ago. So yes, the blood supply is not there, but that is not the reason for your ulcer." So I thought I had convinced my mother of this. And she said, "Oh, yeah, So she decided, okay, she would go to the wound clinic. The wound clinic is a specialized place where they care for, well, you guessed it, wounds. And under the careful, watchful eye of the wound clinic, her ulcer grew from 1 centimeter. If you guys are into centimeters to about 10 centimeters. And I wish I knew how to send pictures. So now a centimeter is, as we talked about, a third of an inch. So she had 2 small, 1/3 of an inch ulcers. And then under the watchful eye of the wound clinic, this is what it became. Now let's put this over here. Trying to get this someplace where you can see it. Those of you on Facebook will be able to see it. All right. I'm not very good at this. I'm just going to see if I can put this right here. And it's not letting me do it. There must be a trick to this. Those of you who know, you can let me know, and I'll put that picture up there for you. Ah, they said a link was copied. I wonder what that is, a link. Oh, here. That's it. Okay. So I sent the link. There's a link, and that link will show you the picture. I wish I knew how to paste a picture, but whatever. So this is what the wound turned into under the watchful eye of the wound clinic. And so it basically expanded from 1 centimeter to 10 centimeters, 10 to 14 centimeters. And so I get these vague calls from mom back and forth, back and forth. Well, you know, the doctor's going to go in there and dilate my artery. Yeah. Well, mom, I don't think that's really the problem. Well, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So then mom finally goes for the big mega surgery where they cut her open, take a vein out of the good leg, put it in the bad leg, and mom says, of course, mom is not able to walk for about at least a good 6 weeks recovering, 8 weeks. And they, of course, put a stent in the graft as well. And things go pretty well for a couple while. Then they said, well, we have to dilate the stent because it's clogged up. All right. So they dilate the stent every 2 weeks. And mom's getting this surgical procedure every 2 weeks. I have to say, by the way, she has excellent insurance. And so finally the doctor says, you need a repeat surgery because the first surgery was not enough. And my mother says, well, you know, I don't know about repeat surgery. And then the doctor says, well, if you don't get that repeat surgery, you're going to get an amputation. And that's when I got the phone call from mom. She says, oh, my God, I don't want an amputation. What am I going to do? What should I do? And then I get the doctor's phone number. We talk to my doctor, and everything gets pretty incoherent from there. I says, no, I'm not talking to your doctor. I need your medical records. Because without the medical records, I don't have any information. There's nothing to talk to her about. And she says, okay. And here's where today's topic came from. So I say, I need your medical records. Oh, well, I'll call her and have her send them. I said, no, mom, it's 2019. Medical records are all electronic online. Really? I said, yes. You have an online access to your medical records. All you need to do is get it. She says, oh, wait, yes. I think I do. I said, yes, mom, I need a URL, username, and password. And she says, what's that? So thank God her tech-savvy grandson, who has a job in IT, that's information technology for those of you who don't know, he said, Grandma, I can help. I can do that. I said, okay, you give me that information. I'll look at your records and check it out. I said, by the way, mom, are you taking any medicines? Oh, yes. I said, what medicines are you taking? Well, I'm taking something for high blood pressure, something for glaucoma, and, of course, my ulcer is being treated. That's okay, good. So my nephew, who is her grandson, gets the information to me, and I log on, and holy cow, as they say, you can't make this stuff up. So I went into this area. They have my mother's name. I wish I could show this to you, but I don't know how to screen share. And so it says health, your visits, messaging, billing, resources, and profile. I said, aha, I'm going to go look at mom's visits, you see. And then I'm going to have a view of what's going on. Right? That's appointments and visits. Yeah, appointments and visits. And so I see here then that she's got visits on February 20th, 22nd, 27th. March 6th, she's got a procedure scheduled. And March 1, wound care, and March 4th. It's a pretty busy schedule for an 87-year-old lady. Yeah. And past visits, we've got February 15th, 13th, February 8th, February 6th, February 1st, January 23rd, and January 23rd. Two visits. All right, so the important thing to get here is February only has 4 weeks. And my poor mother, 87 years old, had 5 visits. Well, I mean, she barely had time to get home and get ready for the next visit. But let's see what happened during those visits. So we have the person that saw her, when it happened, where it happened, dressing change, a bunch of diagnoses, a phone number, blood pressure was taken. Oh, now we have vital signs. So before I went in here, there were no vital signs. Blood pressure 130 over 71. Pulse, that's normal blood pressure. Pulse 72, temperature normal, everything's fine. That's the whole visit. No description of the ulcer, just by the way. So we have no description of the ulcer. We don't know if it's getting bigger or smaller, and the visit took 40 minutes. All right. Now, it's important to get this because we're treating an ulcer, and there's nothing in the record saying how big it is. We don't know if it's getting better or worse. And then we have, on the 27th, she sees a doctor and a procedure. Wait a minute. Let's go back before. We have a procedure. Let's go find a procedure. Procedure on February 13th. He says, you saw a doctor on the 13th. The following issues were addressed. Peripheral artery disease, that's circulation. Venous ulcer of right leg, that's the ulcer. Chronic ulcer of right leg, it's the same ulcer with fat layer exposed. Atherosclerosis of the artery, lymphedema, pain and swelling of lower right leg. So basically, they took peripheral artery disease and renamed it five times. So we have 6 diagnoses. All right. And so instructions. Your personalized instructions can be found at the end of this document. Let's go to the end of the document. The instructions were instructions. Eat a healthy diet and take care of your wound and keep your body clean and wash your hands. That was the instructions. And this is for an ulcer that's pretty darn huge, and we've got, we're looking at amputation, right? It says, don't stand or sit for too long. Elevate your legs several times a day and wear prescribed compression device as instructed. All right. So the thing to note here is she's getting treatment for her wound, which is never described, never measured. We have no information in this document at all about the wound. Now, we do have a list of her medicines. Tylenol, which she's supposed to take, by the way, every night and every morning, even if she doesn't have pain. Those are her directions that she told me. Bengay, greaseless cream, an eye solution, Alphagan, durable medical equipment. That's a machine that was sent to her house. This machine sucks all the liquid out of her wound, which is oozing all the time. And then she has eye drops for glaucoma. Then she has lisinopril, hydrochlorothiazide, blood pressure medicine, and B12 tablet, and vitamin D3. All right. So, again, we've got eyes for drops for glaucoma, no mention of eye pressure anywhere in the chart. Blood pressure medicine, blood pressure we know is pretty darn normal, 130. Okay. Now, the thing I'm trying to understand, which a chart gives no clue to, is what is the state of the wound? I have no clue. No information. There's no picture. I asked my mother, she says, oh, they take pictures. But guess what? It's not in the chart. So we have here, on March 4th, she's scheduled for an operation to redo the vein graft, do it all over again. Now, she's on a schedule for March 4th. She's told her doctor, oh, I don't want that. But she's still on the schedule. It's important to note. Now, if you're being treated for a wound so serious it might require amputation and definitely require surgery, then you have a record with no picture of the wound, no measurement of the diameter of the wound, then that chart is simply deniability. Who's to say how big the wound was? Who's to say it's getting better or worse? And so the chart essentially becomes an open-ended alibi. So this chart does not inform anyone who looks at it as to what really is going on. But we do have a clue. There's a clue. Oh, mom is 87. And she says, you know, I can't remember a darn thing. I'm getting so forgetful. So we've got a person with glaucoma, Can't remember a darn thing, has an ulcer, has hypertension. We have a chart that refers to, measures, documents, none of this. So in the event of an untimely death, what have we got? Deniability. What have we got? An alibi. So let's see if we can't unravel a little more stuff. We have test results. These test results are interesting. There's enough of them. Jesus Christ. Let's look at the test results from February 6th. No information for this test result. No problem. Back to the result list. We'll find some earlier results. We're flexible. Comprehensive metabolic profile. We like those. Lots of numbers. So if we look at this comprehensive medical profile, it's absolutely normal. Past results details. Until you get to the calcium. Calcium was normal in March of 18, and then the calcium started to go up in later March of 18, and then June, and then November of 18, it was very high. 11.2, normal is 10.2. So here they don't help you by making the abnormal test results in red. Oh, well. But the big deal is she has evidence of hyper-overactive parathyroidism. I'm like, what? Mom? Overactive parathyroid? There's nothing wrong with Mom. That's dumb. Okay. So Mom, we know, is getting stupider every day. And now we see she has calcium elevated. Where's the calcium coming from? Her bones. They're dissolving. And so Mom is getting osteoporosis, which is worsening, and moving towards a bone fracture. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Mom. You get all these doctors working on you and getting sicker by the day? What's up with that? Well, all we had to do is look at her medication list. And what do we see in the medication list? Well, we see that she's taking vitamin D as recommended by her doctor. And what does vitamin D do? It raises the calcium. So if you take too much vitamin D, you get hyperparathyroidism, or so it appears. And so the vitamin D prescribed by her doctor is causing her elevated calcium. And what does elevated calcium cause? Confusion. And what else is she taking? She's taking hydrochlorothiazide. That's a water pill, those of you who don't know. What does hydrochlorothiazide do? Causes forgetfulness, stupidity, Alzheimer's. So she's taking drugs that are causing at least one of her conditions. And then she has, of course, the ophthalmic eye drops, which are not exactly a free ride. Let's see what we got from my notes here. Here we are. So if we look here, we find that her blood results, look at her blood results, all of her circulation results are borderline. In other words, they're bad, but the probability of her having an ulcer with those results, and then you can look this up online, whatever, you can always look these up, is less than 5%. In other words, by chance alone. So the circulation results, although they're not normal, do not explain her ulcer. Yet the doctor has done circulation surgery once and proposes to do it a second time. Well, then, even more shocking, we look at the pressure results in her leg that has no ulcer and her leg that has an ulcer, and what do we find? They're identical. They're identical. So why does one leg have an ulcer and the other one doesn't? Let's just say we're not that bright. We can't figure it out, but we know it's not the circulation because the circulation's identical. And so I tell my mother, look, if you want to get surgery in one leg, why don't you get surgery in both legs? What the heck? And she kind of got the point that, you know, that if the circulation is not the problem, why don't you stop doing circulation surgery? So now what we find is after surgery, her leg swells up. So this leg swelling you're treating is caused by the surgery. Then we find her eye drops cause high blood pressure, for which she's taking hydrochlorothiazide, which causes her stupidity and forgetfulness. And so we see where things are going here. In other words, a perfectly healthy 87-year-old has been reduced to forgetfulness, hypertension, and brittle bones totally by the therapy her doctor has given her. Totally. So I said, Mom, this is all pretty terrible. This has gotten pretty far out of hand. Why'd you call me now instead of, I don't know, next year? He says, well, you know, I got busy. I got busy and forgot to take my medicines. I take them in the evening. Forgot to take them. And I felt so good the next day. I said, really? So that's when she gave me a call. So this is how older people with insurance literally deteriorate and go down the tubes. And had she never seen a doctor, maybe she still had the ulcers. You know, two ulcers, one centimeter each. But she wouldn't have high blood pressure. She wouldn't have had these unnecessary surgeries. And she wouldn't have a high calcium with her bones dissolving. And so literally, they have converted her from just an 80-something-year-old person into a quasi-debilitated person. Now, it really got Mom going. Well, if she got the amputation, then she wouldn't be able to drive her car anymore. Right. She's doing her own shopping still. And then the doctor brings in this machine that she hooks her leg up to, and it sucks all the liquid that's accumulating out of the wound so the wound won't drain. And if she has to hook up to that machine, then she's confined to the house. And so she didn't want to do that because she'd be confined to the house. And so I explained to her, Mom, all the liquid oozing out of your wound is your body attempting to make new skin. That is all new skin. You need to keep that liquid and keep it over the wound so your new skin can grow in and the ulcer will go away. If you hook up to that machine that sucks out all that liquid, you will get dry gangrene and you will need an amputation. And the fact that your wound is so wet means that whatever circulation you have is adequate to heal your wound. So, another thing to note here is my mother had never, ever accessed her online records. And so putting on records online and giving a username, password, and URL to an 87-year-old lady is the same as not giving her access to the medical records. This is happening, of course, all over the United States. So she had no access to these medical records. The only way to get access was she happened to have a grandson who was an IT specialist. In other words, that's a computer expert. That's what he does for a living. And she happened to have a child, that would be me, who could unravel all this medicalese and sort through these drugs and realize that these drugs were causing each and every one of her symptoms. And, by the way, she needed another grandchild with a camera to travel 6 hours, take a picture of the wound, and send it to me. The IT guy, that was not his specialty. He handles stuff that's already online. But how many 87-year-olds or any people in the United States, for that matter, have a computer specialist to access their records? And then have someone with the expertise to look at their record. And believe me, this record did not have much information. And I had to spend 2 hours going through every last chart note to find the x-ray results, which indicated that the circulation, these are vascular studies is what they're called, the circulation in her good leg and bad leg were totally equal. In other words, yeah, she had a car accident 35 years ago, but her body had totally repaired, was called collateral or detour routes for blood, so that her leg was getting plenty of blood. So now what do we do? So now there's nothing to talk to the doctor about. Mom says, oh, she says the doctor is recommending this, that, and the other thing. There's no recommendations in the doctor's notes, no indication of what's being recommended. The only clue is mom is scheduled for surgery at her future visits. And so the doctor has been saying, look, this is emergency surgery. You need this surgery. Don't put it off. You're going to lose that leg. I said, Mom, she sent you a machine that if you hooked it up, would guarantee you lose the leg. So the only threat to your leg is your doctor. So the doctor has been talking to other family members, sister-in-law, son, whoever's there in Syracuse, to convince them that grandma ought to have this surgery. So, of course, they all shrugged their shoulders and said, well, she makes her own decisions. And so the doctor now, you know, she needs this $30,000 payday. She's got to get the surgery done. She's got bills to pay. She has to meet her surgery quota. She's got to keep her privileges. She's got pressure. As my mother says to me, every time I talk to the doctor, she's not making any sense. I'm talking to her about healing my wound. I said, right. And she's talking to you about paying her bills and keeping her license and keeping her hospital appointment. So you two are not in the same conversation. You're not making sense to her, and I guarantee, well, if you said, she's not making sense to you because you're in the wrong conversation. So mom, she likes this doctor. Doctor has a great bedside manner, by the way. I said, yeah, she needs a good bedside manner to sell you on this poisonous stuff. So my mother says, well, I'm just going to talk to her and tell her that blah, blah, blah. I said, there's no need to talk to her. Just stop all your medicines and do not clean that wound and don't let anyone clean it. It's not infected. You don't have an infection there. There's no pus, no pain. Leave it alone and let it heal. You can change the covering, but do not clean that wound. So they have people coming to the house every day to pull out the new tissue to make sure there's no healing. So mom stops all of her drugs. She says, oh my God, I'm feeling great. My memory is coming back. Oh, my vision is so much better without those glaucoma drops. Now, remind you, we have no evidence that she has glaucoma because there's no eye pressure measurement in the chart. We have no evidence of high blood pressure because all the blood pressure measurements in the chart are normal. So she stops all of her drugs. It's been a week. Her blood pressure is still normal. Her eyes' sight has improved. And the ulcer is healing at the rate of 1 centimeter a day. Again, those of you who don't only work in inches, it's a third of an inch a day. It's getting smaller, 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 smaller. So now, my mother told me that her doctor was a reasonable person. She just told her doctor no, and that's the end of it. Ho, ho, ho. Now the doctor is demanding a comprehensive family meeting intervention to pressure my mother into getting the surgery. My mother actually plans to show up to the meeting. I said, no, don't have the meeting. Do not show up at the meeting. Get another doctor and get your records transferred. So this doctor is working on getting you declared mentally incompetent and forcing you to get the surgery. And these people who are coming to get your change of bandage every day, they're looking at your house. They're seeing it could probably sell on the market for a pretty good amount of money, certainly enough to pay for your surgery. And then the furniture in the house could also be sold. We will be back. I don't want to stay here on my own. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. I don't want to stay.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniel, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are talking about your medical records. Is it a record of events that really happened or just an alibi? As we can see, with these medical records in this example, this medical record gives total deniability. We don't have a reading of the eye pressure, so nowhere could it be documented that this individual is receiving eye drops that they don't need. No place in the medical record. Well, we did find one, a nurse took a blood pressure. So we see the blood pressure is normal. And so that suggests that, again, this person might be taking blood pressure medicines that they don't need. At no place is there documentation of the size of the ulcer. So we can't tell if the therapy is making the ulcer bigger or making it smaller. And we know, though, from pictures sent by my daughter or by the granddaughter of this patient, that the ulcer is getting tremendously bigger. So this chart creates the appearance of ambiguity. So by withholding information, by not putting information in the chart, there's no conclusive way to determine if therapy is effective, not effective, or harmful. So only the stray laboratory results showing the elevated calcium and the medication list showing the vitamin D and the hydrochlorothiazide, both of which cause high calciums, could we even begin to have an inkling that the therapy might possibly be responsible for any affliction. Now, again, the calcium is elevated. So one could argue, again, with no additional information, because the chart doesn't give any, that the benefit of the vitamin D outweighs the elevated calcium. But there's nothing in the chart indicating what the vitamin D is treating. There's nothing in the chart indicating what the blood pressure medicine is treating. So we don't have a visit-to-visit record. We now have, in retrospect, because this patient stopped all their medicines, we can see that because the blood pressure remained normal, the blood pressure medicine was not ever needed. We can see, because her forgetfulness is totally gone, that it was indeed the medicine causing the forgetfulness. We can also see, because she has refused all care for her wound, that it was indeed the wound care making her wound bigger and bigger and even worse. But, again, because of the way the chart is constructed, because of the omissions, all of these things are obscured. And so what has now happened with medical records is the individual / institution keeping the records has total deniability. And these records are extremely useful compared to paper records in terms of risk management and controlling culpability. That means blame on the part of either the doctor or the hospital. Because, I mean, really, look at the records, right? My word against theirs. How big was that ulcer, really? There's no documentation. The record doesn't reflect that. My word against theirs. What was the blood pressure, really? Blood pressure record doesn't really reflect that. So, again, glaucoma. Did she really ever have it? We don't know. Blood pressure or eye pressure, not in the chart. But she stopped the eye pressure drops. And what happened? She stopped the eye pressure drops and the blood pressure drops. Boom. Her blood pressure is normal. His eye pressure drops caused hypertension. But what else happened? Her vision is improved. And so now this person is faced with a doctor demanding she undergo further therapy for her wound. Now, she also took a look and at her records. There's financial records here, too. And she realized that she had spent over $6,000 in copays in the past year for this therapy that was so damaging. Surgical copays, copays for office visits, all that stuff. So, this really upset her. And she was actually upset that she realized she was paying for harm, that she was actually paying to be harmed. And it is only through social convention, propaganda, that people actually have insurance, use it, and are being harmed dramatically like this. So, I talked to Mom. Mom stops all of her drugs. She's feeling great. She's getting better. I said, now, Mom, the next step is you must drop your insurance. No, I can't drop my insurance. I said, Mom, it's all about the money. If you drop your insurance, you will not have insurance, and these people will leave you alone. But right now, they are going to hound you and plague you, because they know as soon as they get you to submit, they're going to get another $30,000. So, you know, it is shocking to me that my mother, sensible person, she raised me, right? She cannot see the hazard that her health insurance has been to her, and how having insurance has absolutely devastated and wiped out her health. And the only way that she is still has her leg is that she was fortunate enough to have a grandson and to have a daughter that could help her in this way. But for most people, actually elderly or not, these online medical records are nothing more than tools of obedience, because all they do is give the patient enough information to be obedient. This is what your doctor wants you to do today. Do it. This is your appointments for the future. And they got mom booked out, I mean, into the perpetual future as far as the eye can see. In other words, they have no plans for her ever to get healthy enough where she will not need a doctor visit. That alone should indicate to her that whatever therapy they're proposing, they know it's not going to work, and they don't expect it to. So this medical record is certainly nothing more than an alibi. Now, the next question in terms of the medical records being an alibi is, how could it be an alibi? I mean, certainly they've misrepresented by omission. But is there more possibilities? Answers, yes, there is. So I had a medical practice in Syracuse, New York, and I had a lot of patients, and they had a lot of different occupations. So one patient had an interesting occupation. It was her job to retype, substitute operation surgery notes, and substitute chart notes for medical records when something went, like, very wrong. And so literally, you have a surgery, you got the young doctor assisting the older doctor, who's too lazy to dictate his own chart notes. So this younger doctor is there at the surgery, he sees the artery was cut, and he dictates the artery was cut, and he dictates the repair, this or that, and everything. And then they retype a whole new chart note that doesn't even reflect the artery was ever cut. Just an example. And then it's her job to take out the page of the chart note, garbage it up, throw it away, and put in her new retyped altered report. And so then, obviously, if anything ever happens in terms of legal action or whatever, then a chart note would not reflect that. And this is her job at the hospital. Of course, she knew she worked the night shift in the basement. But now, with electronic medical records, that whole process becomes extremely easy. And you get then a chart note that is basically an airtight alibi. No matter what happened, the chart note can be altered to reflect what the institution needs it to reflect. And in this case, since they didn't give me any information about the doctor's notes, I have none, they can create those doctor's notes after the fact, and it's an electronic record. They can just boom, insert them however, wherever is needed. And so our modern-day medical records are nothing more than an airtight alibi. Prior to the, we'll just say, adverse event and legal action, the notes serve as an obedience tool where the patient, their family, can look at these notes and say, oh, that's what the doctor said. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, we'll do it. That's all the information that's in my mother's chart. It's like a Nike commercial. Just do it. And this makes medical care even more dangerous than ever. Back when you had paper notes, you had the whole chart. It was right there in front of you. You didn't have to click 27 different buttons and screens and see this and see that. And as I said, there's information there now that wasn't there when I checked it, you know, 10 days ago before the show. But this is amazing. And so if you're going to see a doctor, then what do? Answer, you need to keep your own records. You need to keep a daily record of each time you go to the doctor. You need to have the doctor, like some people, like when I was in medical practice, they'd have a little book. And they would actually ask me to write down your blood pressure. So whatever that is, have the doctor write that down. You're getting blood pressure medicines? Have them write down your blood pressure every visit. You're getting glaucoma medications? Have them write down your eye pressure. And so obviously there was nothing wrong with my mother's eye pressure, because when she stopped the eye drops, her vision improved. You know, so she was getting all these medicines for conditions she didn't have, and the medicines she got for conditions she didn't have was creating more conditions. And so this is the way in which medical care contributes to the death of over 800,000 Americans every year, and maims and ruins and destroys millions others. And so this is just an example, and just one example, of how medical care destroys your health, and how having health insurance is actually debilitating. I personally have not had health insurance since 1993-94. Right. That's a long time. And I just can't tell you all the money it's saved and the time. You see, they got my poor mom going to the doctor twice a week. And they have someone coming to her house every single day to change his wound and clean it and make sure it never heals. So literally, her having health insurance has taken over her whole life. Can you imagine a stranger coming to your home every day for an hour, and you're supposed to, you know, have the sidewalk shoveled for them so they can get up the steps. You're supposed to have a seat for them to sit in. You know, all these things. You're supposed to have the place clean. You know, it's a big burden to put on an 87-year-old lady. And this is what's going on. But it's going on not only with the elderly, but people at every age who submit to the medical industrial complex. And unfortunately, people who have children, you know, if you get vaccinated, if the kid gets vaccinated, now you've got a fever to deal with. You've got the pain. You've got a wound. You've got all kinds of issues. And that can start taking over your life, which often it does. So the moral of the story is, as what Nancy Reagan say, just say no. Just say no. But again, when you get health insurance, that is implied consent. That is implied consent. I always say to anyone who says, oh, what if something really bad happens? If you can't trust them with the little things, you really think you can trust them with the big things? Really? No. So the thing to do is to, first, do not get health insurance, number one. Number two, do not go see the doctor unless there's something wrong. If there's not something wrong, if you're able to get through your day, not time for a doctor visit. And even if you do somehow find yourself in that place, the twilight zone, call the doctor's office, you know, bring somebody with you. Take pictures. Record the visit. Write down any numbers, or just, you know, take a picture with your camera of whatever numbers. So you have your own independent record, and a fake record like this cannot be manufactured. This is totally outrageous. Even my 87-year-old mother said, she said, I'm 87. I could die during that surgery. I said, yeah, Mom. Your choice. So Mom has already refused the surgery. She's refused any further procedures, yet they have her on the schedule in the future for surgery, for the procedures, see in her record, and they're demanding that she show up for a meeting with them and bring family members. Now, obviously, at the meeting, they're going to document that she's incompetent, and they're going to document the family's non-supportive of the care. And they're going to document that the government needs to intervene for elder protection, like to prevent elder neglect. That's where all this is going. So I told Mom that's where it was going. Told Mom you need to switch to a different doctor. And then the jurisdiction changes, and there's the new doctor, if he wants to, that has then the responsibility, if he thinks it's needed, to continue the legal process of forcing you to get surgery. So you need to change all of your doctors. Change out your primary care doctor, get a new surgeon, stop going to the wound clinic, and fire all those folks who are coming every day. Oh, those people come to the house every day. They're so nice. Why, they told me they wouldn't let that doctor cut on them either. Well, they told me don't tell anybody. I said, Mom, this is just a game of good cop, bad cop. If she were a capable, competent doctor,
they would not have any work. They'd all be laid off. So obviously, they're not being totally sincere. So mom is now, the wound is getting smaller so quickly that she's saying, oh, well, I think I can change this bandage myself. And she's getting ready to stop the people coming to the house every day. But I explained to her, the people coming to the house every day are documenting, taking notes. And we are going to commercial, and we will be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
And welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And today's episode, medical records or just an alibi? And so it is just an alibi. These electronic medical records can be changed at any and all times. And so what you need to do if you're going to go see a doctor, which I don't recommend that, you need to create your own medical record. You know, get a recording of what happened, you know, do a video of whatever happened and keep a video log and record. So when these records, if they become an issue and you have to refer back to it, you can say, whoa, the visit of this date, that's what happened at the visit. So you don't have, a situation where the hospital or the clinic can create and present to you a bogus medical record and present that in court. And that's really important. And Diane says, they killed my mother-in-law during a colonoscopy. She was diabetic, sick from all the medications, and very weak. They had her do the prep. In other words, they had the prep for colonoscopy is they have you poop, 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 and they don't tell you to drink. And she ran 4 hours behind, and she still was not allowed to drink. Of course, she died during the procedure. And this is a simple test. I mean, this is not even, I mean, colonoscopy is of zero therapeutic value. It had no possibility of even healing her. But guess what? That doctor got paid for that procedure. Why? Because her mother-in-law had insurance. And this is the danger of insurance. The doctor knows that if you die in the course of therapy, guess what? He's still going to get paid. Pat says, what if you break a bone? If you break a bone, you still don't need medical care. You don't need medical assistance for broken bones. Again, more propaganda. Pamela says, don't forget about the new generation that's already been brainwashed. That's their problem, you know what? And as if I wasn't brainwashed, are you kidding me? I went to 4 years of medical school. That's a serious piece of brainwashing. And each one of us has to accept responsibility for unwashing our brain and for washing out the trash, the junk, the propaganda, and the untrue stuff. You know, it's each individual person's responsibility. And I think if you live in the United States, then at least 99% of what you believe is absolutely false. It's absolutely false. And it's so much the case that when I work with people, I just have to say to them, you know what? Why don't you just do what I ask you to do, and we're going to limit your questions to how to get it done. How to get it done, and if you have any difficulty doing it. And we're just going to go step by step by step by step by step. And what happens is people get better, and they heal, and then they can deal with their beliefs. A lot of people are afraid to let go of their beliefs, their belief in health insurance, their belief in doctors, because they feel like, oh, what if something really bad happened? Well, your doctor can't handle the simple stuff. You think he can handle the really serious stuff? Well, there is a fantasy right there. You know, I want you to go back to reading bedtime stories. You know, wake up. You got someone who can't even drive a car. You're going to let them drive a tractor trailer? Really? So if your doctor can't handle simple stuff, in this case, we have a medical team, by golly, that took a healthy person, and her age is irrelevant, by the way, took a healthy person, pretended she had glaucoma, gave her hypertension, created Alzheimer's, and the hypertension medicine created Alzheimer's and osteoporosis. And then the vitamin D they threw in there made the whole thing even worse. And so you, and then, of course, they're treating ulcers by what? So, if they can take a healthy, you think they can take a sick lady and make her healthy? I should say, think about that. Really? Really? Yeah. So, Gail says, oh, break bone, but have it set and pay some of all of the cash you have saved.
Regret or growing old, it's a privilege denied to me. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young
so
people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond
I can't tell you,
are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.